Welcome to Christian Medical and Dental Association's chapel. We trust this message will encourage your walk with the Lord.
I want to look at Psalm 13 today and share with you a few thoughts that the Lord's been stirring in my heart. Psalm 13, verses 1 through 6 of the New Living Translation, it says this, O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, We have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. But I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. I wondered, have you ever felt like the sparkle's gone from your eye? Have you ever felt like, you know, the joy, the enthusiasm is maybe gone? I really want to focus in on this one verse in Psalm 13, and that is verse 2. How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul and with sorrow in my heart every day? How many of you have ever felt like the struggle is real? This morning, I was getting ready to record the transitions for CMDA Matters since Mike wasn't here, and I always like to ask the Lord to kind of send some confirmation. I had planned on coming home from a busy week last week and just kind of pull something from the file for chapel today, and the Lord kind of seemed to stir me in a different direction, as if like to say, no, I don't want you. I got something fresh I want you to share with the staff. And so I was still kind of wrestling through that a little bit this morning. Last night I got the script from Mandy, and there was this testimony from one of the students at our recent convention. Let me read a little bit of this testimony because it fits with what the Lord's stirring in my heart today. It said, My wife and I were profoundly touched by our conversation with an older couple who have both dedicated their lives to medicine. They shared with us their own struggles. They shared with us their own struggles during their training, reflecting the very concerns that we face today. And they go on to share this testimony about how this older couple who'd been down the road and sharing their struggles, how much it meant to them and how much it identified with them. And I wrote down this thought, sometimes we have a tendency to snuggle our struggles. Have you ever thought about that? We have a tendency to snuggle our struggles. Like we're going through something and we just kind of hold it really tightly and we don't want anyone else to see what we're going through and we just snuggle it rather than share it. And it's amazing that this couple here at some point, they were vulnerable enough to share some of the struggles that they were going through and that they had gone through in their life. And it wasn't all the highlights that they had gone through. It wasn't their success stories that meant so much to this young couple following in their footsteps. It was the struggles that they faced, because I think that this young couple, if we were to interview them today, they would say that it was the struggles that they went through that kind of they identified with. Sometimes we have a tendency to hold closely those struggles that we're going through. We too snuggle them and don't want anyone else to know that we're going through a struggle. Can I tell you something today? If you identify with the struggles, I can promise you this morning that if you're going through a struggle, there's probably someone else that you're sitting next to or close by that's going through a similar struggle. And oftentimes we think we are the only ones that are going through that struggle. If you've ever had someone share some of the struggles that they're going through in life, you know how much that ministers to us and how much that encourages us to know that we're not alone. Because one of the things that happens when we begin to face those struggles is we know that there's a real straining that takes place as we're going through those struggles. There's a real stressing that we experience as we encounter those struggles. And those struggles have a tendency to stretch us sometimes to the max. And then feel like sometimes it's a strangling that's going on in our lives. Like in Psalm that we read today, we begin to ask like the psalmist, how long? How long will this go on? How long will I cry out to you? And it seems like we just continue to face these struggles in life. And sometimes we need to share those struggles, and those struggles can be helpful to other people. I'm so glad that the Apostle Paul didn't snuggle his struggles. I'm glad he talked about them. I'm glad he shared about them. Because oftentimes, as we go through times of struggle, they're common in life. It was some of the things that Paul wrote about the struggles of life that we can kind of hold on to and help us through our times of struggle. Let's talk a little bit about this idea. I want to talk today about the secret of staying strong in and through life's struggles. Let's talk about where it began. Struggles began in the fall of man. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you, and all your life will be a struggle to scratch a living from it." All part of the fall. Life is a struggle. Sometimes we have a tendency to think, okay, this struggle that I'm going through, and name the subject, name the area of your life. I'm going through this alone, and like, why is this happening to me? As Peter would write, as if some strange thing were taking place. It's not. It all started in the fall in the Garden of Eden. Psalm 90, verse 10 says this: "Our lives last 70 years if we are strong. 80 years, even the best of them are struggle and sorrow. Indeed, they pass quickly, and then we fly away." If we live in 70, 80 years, guess what the writer of the psalm said? They're a struggle. And sometimes we need a perspective on that life is a struggle, and we go through struggles continuously. So what does the word struggle mean? Some of you are sitting here thinking, well, I don't need a definition of that. I'm going through one right now. I know exactly what a struggle means. But let's just take a look at the word to see what it means today. The word struggle means to make strenuous or violent efforts in the face of difficulties or opposition. It means to make a great effort to overcome something or someone, or to proceed with great difficulty. How many of you know what it is to go through a struggle? How many of you are going through a struggle right now, something that you're going through? Well, what's the perspective? Well, Paul talks a lot about struggles. In different translations, some translations use the literal word struggle. Some use some other words. But I want to look, primarily most of the scriptures we're going to look at today are from the New Living Translation. And I want to ask this question: how did Paul deal with his struggles? What helped him through those struggles? And as I began to look through the scriptures, what Paul writes about the struggles that he has, I noticed there were several things, and I want to share those with you this morning, how Paul handled his struggles. Number one, he promoted the importance of prayer. The Apostle Paul promoted the importance of prayer. It was the struggles that Paul had that drove him to realize his great need for prayer. Romans chapter 15, verse 30 says this: "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me." So Paul is very upfront about the struggles that he goes through. He's not private about those struggles. He declares what those struggles are, but he clearly says in Romans chapter 15, verse 30, that I'm going to ask you to join me in praying for my struggles that I'm going through. What do we do with our struggles? Do we understand the power and the potential that lies within prayer? Or do we kind of hold on to those struggles? We just kind of carry those struggles, or do we take those to God in prayer? When we talk about prayer requests, sometimes we want to talk about maybe something that someone else is going through, but sometimes we don't share those intimate struggles, those difficult struggles that we're going through, because we don't want other people to think otherwise of us, or maybe we don't want it to appear like we're weak in the midst of something, and we often hold on to those. One of the things that God has taught me in recent years is I need to be more apparent with my struggles. I need to be more upfront with those. And sometimes I found that something breaks in the heavenlies when we're willing to humble ourselves and not only to pray and seek God's face, but when we just share our weaknesses, when we share something difficult that we're going through. And I can think of several times in my life that the Lord just said, you need to share that struggle that you're going through. You need to share that difficulty that you're going through. And it was by sharing that and getting other people to pray that it brought about the change in the midst of that struggle. Colossians 4, verse 12 says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers." Prayer made a great difference. Paul promoted the importance of prayer. Jesus focused on prayer in the garden in Luke chapter 22, verse 42. As he struggled in this to fulfill the will of his Father. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. He wrestled with the struggle. He was praying that this cup would pass, but the struggle was to do God's will. I will tell you, there's two routes for struggles in life as you look at it. One is when you're running from God's will. There's a lot of struggles that come with that. The second is when you're responding to God's will. There are struggles in that as well. Just because you're struggling doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. There are struggles that proceed sometimes because we are right in the center of the will of God. In fact, Paul would write, there's a great effectual open door for me, but there's much opposition. There are great adversaries, many who oppose me. You can be right in the midst of the center of the will of God and still be facing opposition and going through struggles. Philip Yancey said this, most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same two themes. Number one, why God doesn't act the way we want him to. And number two, why I don't act the way God wants me to. But he goes on to say this, prayer is the precise point where these two themes converge. You see, Paul, he promoted the importance of prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So as you're going through the struggle, don't be anxious about it. Give it to God. Promote the importance of prayer. Number two, Paul understood who his struggle was against. He understood who his struggle was against. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 13, he writes, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand. He tells us an important part of this equation. We need to understand who our struggle is really against. We often forget that the actors are not the author of the play. The actors are not the author of the play. You see, the enemy is behind the script. Sometimes we have to understand in our relationships with our spouses, with our family members, with our coworkers, you're not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. I may perceive that the struggle is with someone in this room, but it's not. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It is against principalities. You see, sometimes we're struggling and we're misidentifying. It's an actor in the play rather than the author of the play. And we have to understand that the enemy is the enemy, and his desire is to steal, kill, and destroy. He's our real enemy. Number three, we recognize from Paul as he deals with struggles that he recognized similar struggles in others. Sometimes we have a tendency in the midst of life struggles to kind of focus on me and my struggles. All the attention is on what I'm going through, what I'm feeling, how I feel strangled, and how the sparkle is gone from my eyes. Paul did something interesting. He says this in Philippians 1, 29 and 30. It says this, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now here that I still have. It means that Paul gained a perspective of that, okay, this is the struggle that I'm going through. Y'all know the struggle that I'm going through, but I recognize it in you as well. Sometimes our sole attention can be on our own path, our own struggle, our own tug of war, and we forget sometimes to take a look around and see what other people are going through. You see, it's helpful to focus on the struggles of other people as we go through them. And sometimes that's a tremendous perspective for us as we go through these difficult times of struggle, is to realize that we're not alone. Other people are going through that. And sometimes, in fact, it was Job, I won't have to take the time to go into this, but if you look at Job's struggles and all he went through, when it really began to turn around for Job was towards the end of the book when he began to pray for his friends. That was a key part of the story changing. He didn't focus so much on his struggles. He changed and he focused on the struggles of others, and he recognized the similar struggles of others. I tell you, you are not alone. There are other people who are going through similar struggles, and we need to take time to find out from them. Sometimes we can be selfish in our struggles, and we only focus on ourselves rather than the struggles that other people are going through. And sometimes that perspective can be life-changing, life-giving, when you realize, okay, man, I'm going through the struggle right now. In my mind, that's really, really, really big. And then we put it in perspective and hear something that someone else is struggling through and realize, you know what? They're carrying even a greater load than I've even imagined carrying. Number four, I would suggest to us that Paul accepted the fact that struggles do not always go away. Struggles don't always go away. How many of you didn't want to hear that today? Right? Like sometimes we think we pray and they go away. If you're a good prayer, they go away fast, right? Not necessarily. Second part of that passage of Scripture in Philippians 1, verse 30 says this, "For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe but also suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had," and look at this last part, "and now hear that I still have." I still have these struggles. Remember Paul said three times, I prayed multiple times that this thorn in the flesh would go away, that this struggle, we don't know what the thorn was. He prayed that the struggle, the thorn, would go away, but it didn't. God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10 says this, "This is why we work hard and continue to struggle, for our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers." Paul says, listen, we continue to struggle. It doesn't always go away. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while," it's an interesting word. It doesn't say briefly. It doesn't say for a second. It says for a while. Define a while. Well, define a second. Define a day. There's no clock. We're not on a timer and on the idea of suffering and struggles in life. Man, there's times that I've been through a struggle, and even some of the ones that maybe Cheryl and I are going through right now in family, that you want it to be over. Like God, please, how long is this going to have to go on? And we want it to end right now. God, be merciful. Just stop this thing right now. But we've been promised, even when they last a while, his presence goes with us. Struggles don't always go away. Sometimes they require perseverance. Sometimes they require endurance. Oftentimes they require patience. Number five, he learned that his struggle was dependent upon the Spirit of Christ and not his own. When we struggle, sometimes we have a tendency, okay, I need to be a leader here. I need to get it together. I need to pull myself together, and let's move forward. Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29, "That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me." Paul doesn't talk about his own strength. He talks about the strength of Christ, his power, and his might. 2 Corinthians 1, 9, "Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raised the dead." 2 Corinthians 3, 5, "Not that we were competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competency comes from God." 2 Corinthians 4, 7, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Number six, he equated the great price with a great purpose. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3, he says, "For I want you to know how great a struggle," here's this great struggle he's having, "I have for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach out all to reach all the riches and full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." In the midst of this great price, this great struggle, is a great purpose. He would wrote in Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to those who are called according to his purposes. All things for good? Yes, even the struggles of life. Erwin McManus wrote, it's amazing how much we can endure when we are convinced there is a purpose to our struggle. If we could kind of get our eyes and our mind wrapped around this idea that God's got a purpose for this, and he will be glorified in and through it if we rely on his power and his strength to fulfill his great purpose for our lives. And lastly, he kept his struggles in perspective. The writer of Hebrews, some people think it was Paul, writes this in Hebrews 12, verse 4, in your struggle against sin, you could fill in the blank there, because your struggle may be against sin, it may be an ongoing sin, it may be something else. I would say, in your struggle against, fill in the blank, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your own blood. It's a perspective, right? No matter how bad, no matter how much you're crying out, how long will this have to continue? It's a wonderful perspective to realize it in light of this isn't to the point of yet. He would write in Romans 8, verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings, you could insert the word struggles there, are not worthy compared with the glory that will be revealed in us someday. Charles Spurgeon wrote that it is perhaps one of the hardest struggles of the Christian life to learn this sentence. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name be glory. Sometimes we're praying, Lord, remove the struggle. Help us to be victorious in the struggle. And the purpose for the struggle is that we would glorify God in and through our lives and through our bodies. I'm going to close with this bit of encouragement for you this morning. Psalm 37, verse 18 says this, the Lord knows the daily struggles of innocent people. Now there's a lot packed into that sentence. Because that struggle, that you're saying how long, sometimes you've prayed, you've sought the Lord, you've cried out to God, you've pleaded, you've asked for help, and it seems like no answer seems to come. I'll tell you something. You can personalize this. You can say your name with this. The Lord knows all the struggles, the daily struggles of Burt Jones. You can insert your name there. God knows the daily struggles of every person in this room, every person who's watching online. God knows that struggle. Even if you're snuggling that struggle and you're not sharing it with anybody else, God knows. Well, let me encourage you to take some perspective from the Apostle Paul, who was very open about his struggles and the things that he learned and the things that God was teaching him and the things that got him through those struggles. And let me also encourage you to know that God knows, but also let me encourage you to be open and transparent. We have a great privilege here at CMDA of having prayer partners. And I encourage you to kind of move beyond just the surfacey level prayers to kind of praying with your prayer partner here at CMDA, the struggles that you're going through, the hardships that you're facing, and be open and transparent and let that be an opportunity for God to surround you with people who understand and will pray for your struggles. Lord, I lift up to you today anyone in this room that's facing a struggle, a difficulty, and Lord, I pray that these words from Scripture will be an encouragement. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.